Don't you hate it when there's conflict in your life? Just one relationship where the harmony's been, I don't know, disrupted because of a harsh word or a misunderstanding. And it doesn't matter how many other great things you have going on in your life, it robs you of your joy. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Thanks so much for joining me as today we take another look at godly, life-changing wisdom from a different perspective. And do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about the powerful prayer that could be coming your way to help you through whatever you happen to be dealing with in your life just at the moment. One of the reasons that we have conflict in our lives, not the only reason by any means, but one of the main ones, is because we brought it on ourselves. Let's do a quick stock take of your relationships, the ones that aren't going so well at the moment, the ones where the harmony of the relationship has been disrupted by conflict, by a misunderstanding, by a harsh word, and the longer it goes on, the more entrenched our position becomes, right? Okay, so thinking about those relationships honestly, how much of it was your fault? And even if up front it didn't start out as your fault, what opportunities have you allowed to slip by without stepping out and resolving the conflict? Psalm 34 verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Short and sweet, but actually it's a verse that's jam-packed with wisdom. The first bit is pretty obvious. Depart from evil. But all too often, we use that as a bit of an excuse when it comes to conflict. Well, you know, it wasn't my fault. I didn't start it. It's up to them to say sorry. But God doesn't give us that luxury. Depart from evil and do good. Doing good is a proactive step. Doing good is grabbing hold of a situation and resolving it, even if in your mind you weren't the one that started it. Doing good is about seeking peace, and seeking involves getting up off your behind, figuring out a way through, and making it happen. Peace, I mean real peace, only happens when both parties are happy with the outcome. But whilst seeking peace is about being proactive, God takes it even one step further. He doesn't just want us to seek it out, he wants us to pursue it. The original Hebrew word there for pursue carries with it a sense of chasing it down, to harass, in a sense that you get it, to aim to secure it, to be ardent and persistent about it. I wonder when you consider just this one short verse and what it really means, the different light that it casts on your relationships and their conflicts. I love this. Just 11 words in that verse, and yet powerful wisdom that can last for a lifetime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." So being the one who brings peace into a relationship, even though it requires humility and sacrifice and not getting your own way all the time, is a powerful witness of the love and the reconciliation that's available in Jesus Christ. Peacemakers, through their peacemaking, speak the love of Christ into the hearts of their enemies. And that, after all, is exactly what you and I are on this earth to do. But beyond being a proactive peacemaker, there's another way in which you and I can apply God's wisdom to our relationships. Sometimes the things that we do, albeit that they're innocent, albeit that they're not wrong per se, bring conflict and strife into a situation. Have you been there? And when the other person gets upset with you, you're left wondering, hang on, what did I do wrong? Yeah, we've all had that experience. And believe it or not, that very situation is something that God's word has some wisdom on. I love this. I love it how God has thought all these things through and poured out his wisdom through his word. Back when Christianity was being birthed out of Judaism in the first century, there was some conjecture and dispute over what people could eat and not eat. Pork, was it in or out? Was shellfish in or out? We take all that for granted today, but back then it was a big deal. Those who understood the grace and the freedom they now had in Christ understood that they were free to eat anything, but they were prone to criticize those who still thought the old way. And yet the Apostle Paul turns around to them and says this, Romans chapter 14, verse 13, "Let us therefore no longer pass judgment on one another, but resolve instead never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of another." So in other words, don't use your freedom to be a stumbling block to others. He goes on to say that if what we do is going to be a stumbling block to others in their faith, we should curb our freedoms for their sake. In a world that's so focused these days on individual freedoms, what a powerful message that is. When you think of it, much of the conflict in our lives arises out of our assertion of individual rights. But I'm entitled, is what we so often think. And yet, according to God's wisdom, there is something more important to the things that we think we're entitled to. And that thing is preserving peace in our relationships. Because after all, when you boil it all down, Romans chapter 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God isn't about food or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many times have you and I disrupted the peace when all along we could not only have kept the peace, but built up and encouraged those around us? Romans 14, 19. Let us therefore pursue what makes for peace and for mutual building up. So beyond just peace, you and I have the opportunity through the things we choose to do day by day, and importantly, through the things we choose not to do or to say, to build others up, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to serve them by helping them to grow. What a privilege to be in a position where we can sacrifice our entitlements to serve others. When it comes to dealing with sinners, peace always comes at a price. And let's face it, we're all sinners. We all get it wrong. Pretty much never a day goes by where we don't think or do or say something that's not honoring to God. And even when we're doing the right thing, sometimes, especially because we are doing the right thing, other people, other sinners, take offense and cause strife. I mean, there was Jesus healing this man with a deformed hand, and the religious leaders criticized him because he was healing on the Sabbath. Luke chapter 13, verses 14 to 17. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath day untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from bondage this Sabbath day?" When he had said all of these things, his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. Do you see? Do you see how easily God's wisdom, a wisdom born out of his great love for us, is used by sinners to criticize? Because what was going on here was that the power of God was upsetting the entrenched power structures of the religious leaders. Sometimes it's important to stand up for what's right. The thing you notice about Jesus, though, is that he never stood up for himself. He only ever stood up for other people. There's something in that for you and for me. As I said earlier, so often we're focused on our own personal rights, our own personal entitlements, our own personal freedoms, that we forget that's not what it's about. You and I are free in Jesus Christ. You and I have the most incredible peace and freedom. And what a privilege it is to lay down our freedoms, to expose ourselves to criticism, to serve other people with the love of God through Jesus Christ. What an incredible privilege. Before I go, I'd just like to remind you that if you have a prayer need, we would absolutely love to pray for you. Because the only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. Just let that sink in. The only sort of prayer the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. So if you'd like us to pray with you, in fact, if you'd like our whole prayer community to pray with you, stop by online at powerfulprayer.org to share your prayer request. It's completely confidential, your name won't be displayed, and in fact, while you're there, perhaps you could pray for one or two others as well and leave them a word or two of encouragement. You can be such a mighty blessing to so many others by supporting them in prayer. God's word says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So please allow us to pray for you and with you, and let's just see what God does, how he intervenes, how he chooses to bless you. That web address again is powerfulprayer.org. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.